We're in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15 is really what the Lord laid on my heart about 9 months ago in personal study as far as direction for our church. Paul wrote to Timothy, and Timothy was pastoring the church at Ephesus. So really, by Paul writing to Timothy, he was affecting the direction of the church at Ephesus. And direction of churches is very important. God's interested in the direction that Mount Zion Baptist Church is headed. He was interested in the direction that the church at Ephesus was headed. That's why, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he gave Paul the words to write to Timothy to ensure, as a leader, that he was steering them in a right direction, that a direction that was pleasing to God. And so, as I began to study these words of Scripture, the Lord impressed upon my heart that we give more effort in the study of the Word of God and that our direction be right. And the direction is always right when we are founded and when we are Word-driven people. Word-driven people are people that are a lot less emotionally driven people. As I pray over different things and counsel throughout the year, certain things come to my mind. When we have sin problems, it reminds me we're not in the Word. Because the benefit of the Word is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to his Word. When I see people make foolish emotional decisions that are not Word-driven, it reminds me we are not in the Word like we should be. Because the Word would lead us differently than what our emotions lead us at times. It's important that we understand that if we're not Word-driven people, generally we can be culture-driven people. And as I watch sometimes Christians mold to a culture that is pushing and defining worldliness, I'm reminded that we're not in the Word and we're not discerning what the where the culture is going. We need to be in the Word. As I look at the Word of God and understand, and we see Christians that maybe are not developing fruit, we understand that a Christian that is in the Word is going to develop fruit, according to Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that does what? That bringeth forth his fruit. In his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, a Word-driven Christian will produce fruit. A Word-driven Christian will make biblical decisions. A Word-driven Christian will be motivated to follow God. A Word-driven Christian will cleanse his way. A Word-driven Christian will be kept from sin. According to Psalm 119, verse number 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, preacher, I've tried to memorize and, you know, keeping me from sin, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if I internalize it, if I memorize it, if I allow it to control my thoughts and I yield to it in my life, I won't sin. Word-driven Christians keep from sinning. Word-driven Christians are people that are revived. We pray for revival. There's some people right now in our church. I'm praying this specific prayer. Lord, quicken them according to your word. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me. Revive me. Make me alive again according to thy word. Let the word of God do that in your life. Boy, the word is a quickening. It's a powerful tool in our lives when we give ourselves to it. It's the word that brings hope. When you're depressed, when it's dark, when you're hopeless. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 74, he says, They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Question, in your depressed state, in your hopeless state, are people glad to see you? Do they see you gaining hope? Do they see you growing in hope? Do they see you having hope despite whatever you're going through? The psalmist said, people be glad to see me because guess what? I have found hope in thy word. Boy, you're hopeless. I'll tell you what the answer is. It's the word. The word benefits us in so many different ways. Some need light. You need direction in your life. I talked to one of our members this week, and he was making a pretty heavy decision. And he told me the decision that he made, and I asked him, how did you come to that decision? And he said, well, two passages of Scripture, preacher, that God used to bring to light thoughts that made that decision very clear. Why? Because the entrance of thy words give light. They can give you light. They give me light. You're looking for the next step in life. What's my next step in life? Boy, I'm looking at this option. I'm looking this. I'm looking here. Which direction do I go? Which step do I go? Order my steps in thy word, the Bible says. The psalmist prayed that prayer. Brethren, that's a good prayer to pray as you start the new year. Order, Lord, order my steps through and in your word. In Isaiah chapter 55, when we give attention to the Word of God, the Bible says, when His Word goeth forth out of His mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Do you understand? When the Word gets to you, God has a purpose behind it. God wants to accomplish something. God wants to change. He wants to quicken. He wants to give hope. He wants to cleanse. He wants to give direction. He wants to show you His will. All of that's in the Word of God. All of that God has for your life. You want to be sanctified. You want to grow and be set apart unto God. How does that take place? John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Man, if I want to grow more to be like Christ and less to be like this world and less of my flesh dominating me, how does that happen, preacher? It happens when I get into the Word of God and the Spirit of God uses that word to shape my thinking and shape my lifestyle. All of that being said, Jeremiah certainly saw the benefits of being in the Word of God. And he wrote this in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. Thy word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Christian, is it that precious to you? Has it been that fresh to you lately? That boy, you found the words, you ate them, and it was unto you the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. By the way, this is a pattern for Christian growth as we've been dealing with. We talked about overcoming unresponsiveness as a Christian. That is a pattern for Christian growth. Now here's another one. Study to show thyself approved unto God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, do you understand in the context of this passage, there's a group of people, a large group of people in our world today that do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Could we say they do not receive the words of the Spirit of God? In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this in verse number 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. What did God prepare? I'll tell you what God prepared. God prepared this wonderful book. And the Spirit here says, our eyes haven't seen, nor our ears have heard, neither has everything entered in all that God has prepared for us. Verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, there are deep truths in here. Boy, I mean, there are some things that just will bless your soul. My mother called them nuggets. Once in a while, we have to share one of the nuggets in the morning that God gives us because it's just so rich, so bountiful, like so sweet. I got to share it with somebody else. The deep things of God. Now look at verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You understand, without the Spirit of God, you're not going to know any of this. That's not going to work. But with the Spirit of God, you can understand this. Look at verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There's no monthly subscription to have to read the Bible. $11.99 a month, you have access to this book anytime you want it. Now, some of us pay for subscriptions for different things, don't we? We like this, having access to this or whatever. But this is freely given. Do you ever think of the Word of God as free? I like free. You like free? I like free. This book, the book that we're told to study to show ourselves approved, God doesn't put any other qualification other than you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit, you have the things freely given to men by God. Look at verse number 13. Which also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. I'm not reading Aristotle. I don't have to read a psychologist. This is all man's wisdom. I have God's wisdom. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth. This book, I'll be honest with you, as we start this new year, one of the things that God's dealing with me about, maybe He'll deal with you about, is we're reading way too much other stuff. This is the book that God teaches through. This is the Holy Spirit teacheth book. We have this. It's free. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You understand, you have the Spirit of God and you have the mind of Christ this morning. You have everything necessary for studying the Word of God. God didn't equip you with less. God equipped all of us with the Spirit, third person of the Trinity, divine Spirit of God within us, and the mind of Christ to be able to understand. It doesn't have to be foolishness unto you. You don't have to be ignorant regarding the Scriptures or the beliefs of the Scriptures. My friend, it's all here. It's all here. The Bible promotes growth. The Bible promotes faith in our lives. The Bible promotes fight in us. The Bible is an umbrella of safety. The Bible promotes wisdom. What am I saying? The Bible's going to benefit your life. One of the most important things in your life is the study of the Scriptures. The study of the Scriptures. Paul, in his second epistle to Timothy, wanted Timothy to charge the Ephesian church not to be divided. Turn back in your text to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look at verses 14 through 18. So he writes this book, and it's a rather unique book in that it recounts the last wishes and advice of a spiritual father, Paul, to a spiritual son, Timothy, with the thought of the direction of the local church that Timothy was pastoring in mind, and Timothy's well-being as a young preacher. In the book, Paul recalls memories. Paul gives reminders. Paul issues commands to be strong. Paul identifies false teachers. He sounds warnings. He names people that have deserted the faith. He praises supporters. But he repeatedly charges Timothy to guard that which is entrusted unto him. He urges him to come quickly, and he requests a cloak and scrolls left behind at Troas, a little overview of the book of 2 Timothy. But he's burdened in verses 14 through 18 that the church not lose their unity, or if there was a problem in the church over divisions, that they would get it corrected. I want you to look at verse 14 with me, and you'll see some of this in the tone in which the Holy Spirit recorded here. The Bible says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, with that background, he writes, study to show thyself approved, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's interesting that study is to replace words. Do you see that? They were striving with words. And the Spirit's command is, instead of striving over words, why don't you put your nose in the Bible? Why don't you study the Bible? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. These are strong warnings here. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. First in my notes this morning as we study this passage on study to show thyself approved, I want you to see the exhortation to charge, to charge. In verse number 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Charge means to bring awareness to. Charge means to motivate. Charge means to take the leash on the neck of the dog and pull it back. Charge means to give direction. Charge means to make correction. He says, I want you, Timothy, to charge the people at Ephesus. Charge them about some things. He was instructing them to charge. He was instructing him to charge them to strive not. So church, as we begin a new year together and we focus on study to show thyself approved, I would share the same charge with you. Strive not. Strive not with each other. Don't give your words to no profit that end up in fruitless discussions and arguments. Stay away from all that. That was what Timothy, this is directional. This was directional for the church at Ephesus. They could not be a good testimony in the community if there was striving going on within. So Paul was writing Timothy, the Spirit of God's plan for the church at Ephesus was learn not to strive. Learn not to strive. It conveys the idea of fighting and quarreling and disputing. I'm not preaching this because I know any of that going on, but I'm just sounding a good Bible charge to all of us. Stay away from that. In spite of all the dangers from the outside to the church, there are wordy battles that sometimes are unnecessary within the church. Listen, there are enough outside battles that we face. We don't need to create inside battles. And so, Satan was busy, and he is busy without. And may I say this? He is busy within too. And he loves to divide churches. He loves to bring about church splits. He loves for somebody to get off on a tangent. He loves for there to be strife and there to be hurt and there to be confusion and there to be quarrels within. And the charge from the Spirit of God as we look at this passage is make sure, number one, we're not striving with each other. That's important. It's important to the direction of the church. Notice the work of the minister is to put believers in remembrance. It's not that this church had not heard this before. It's not that this church did not know better than to not strive. They knew all of these things. But Paul writes to Timothy and says, put them in remembrance of these things. Hey, we need reminded of these truths is what he's saying. And so, from time to time, churches get into striving about words that bring no profit. In fact, the only profit that takes place, we see in verse number 14, is that there are hearers that are subverted. Subverted. It paints the picture of a plow turning the soil over and over. Some believers were being plowed under as a result of divisions within the church. Paul says, hey, before you think about the argument that you have to win, remember who it's going to affect. Remember the subversion it's going to cause within the body of Christ. Beware, beware. Here's what can happen. Divisions that take place, and as a result, believers are subverted. When we don't put time into the Word, there is a tendency to put time into words that are of no profit. You see that. Study to show thyself in verse number 15. Verse number 14, I'm giving myself to words. What will dry up my words is good study time in the Bible. And that's a good direction for a church. And so this direction was given. Don't get involved in petty arguments. Be careful when somebody's tearing down another brother. Thank you, but I don't need to continue down that road. When we don't put time into the Word, we get into profane and vain babblings. Look at verse number 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The message of the false teachers defiles people. It increases unto more ungodliness. May I say this? False teachers lower standards. Let me say it again. False teachers lower standards. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about profane. Profane is worldly. Profane is what's common. Avoid those kind of babblings. False teachers drag down truth, minimize truth, don't want truth to be applied to everyday living. He says, avoid those things. Just study the Word. Study the Word. False teachers thus increase the wickedness of mankind. The evil conduct of our day says that there are many false teachers out there that are profane, sharing profane words, leading people astray, leading them to more worldliness and ungodliness. And it will increase. If you give yourself to it, ungodliness will increase, is what the Bible says. Notice verse number 17. And their word, in contrast to verse number 15, the word of truth. You can judge all words by the word of truth. The more you know the word of truth, the more you're going to be alert to their words. Like we did in Sunday school as we looked at the religion of Freemasonry, and we judge their words by what? The word of truth. The word of truth. You've got to know the word of truth to be able to do that, though. And so we need to study the word of God. In a world of fake news, aren't you glad that the Bible is the word of truth? There's more deception than ever before. Notice that their words, in verse number 17, their word will eat as doth a canker. So we got three things going on here. We got believers that are being subverted because of words that are of no profit. We got ungodliness increasing because of vain words and profane words that are leading people to looser living. And we've got their word that doth eat as a canker. That word canker has the idea of gangrene. Years ago, my mother had an appendectomy. Didn't know it was an appendectomy originally. Went to the doctor and she had some pain. The doctor said, well, maybe this and maybe this. She went a few more days and it was getting worse. It was not getting better. And eventually she went in to go into the hospital. And they realized that her appendix needed out and that it was infected. Some others in the church have been through this scenario, that if you don't get on this infection, you don't get that appendix out and gangrene sets in, what happens? That infection runs throughout the body. It spreads throughout the body. And in fact, it can take your life. And what the Bible's saying here is, when wrong words are being used within the local church and there are people that are spreading stuff that's not right, it eats as gangrene. It spreads like gangrene. You say, preacher, what can I do to help our church put up a wall against this? Study the Word. Study the Word of God. That's what you can do. Keep your nose in the Bible. When churches go through splits, somebody's out of the Word. Somebody's off. There's always three or four stories when there's a split. There's his story. There's her story. There's somebody else's story. And there's the truth. Keep your nose in the book. This would overthrow the purpose of the church. If we get off, brethren, it'll overthrow how God wants to use the church. So how do we get off? We get off one believer at a time. We just get off and we get out of the Word. The Word just doesn't need to be that important in my life. So first I see here the exhortation of a charge. Secondly, in verse number 15, is the endeavor of study. The endeavor of study. Verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study is a very interesting word. It means to use speed. It means to make effort. It means to be prompt. It means to be earnest. You may be diligent to research a purchase on the internet. Some of you are more research-oriented than others. Some of you just go and say, well, I need this. I'm going to go buy this. Others of you are like, oh, I got to check all the brand names. I got to check all the reviews. I got to check the prices. I got to go to multiple websites. And so you're very researched. You're very studied. You make speed. You use diligence. You value research and study. Some of you are prompt and earnest in planning a trip. We need to use that same diligence when it comes to the Word. You know, it takes 7 years of intensive training to become a medical doctor and 3 or 4 additional years to become proficient in a highly specialized field of medicine. This week when I was in with Carl and Sherry and they were in the open heart surgery and those doctors came out and explained all that they had to do, I just thought to myself, praise God that He equips men and women with brains to be able to understand and a desire to be able to help people that way. And the years of training and experience that it took to be able to rescue Carl from death. Now, God ultimately did all that. But He does use individuals. And I thought of their years in the medical training field and then their years of experience. And hear the doctors say, listen, I've been doing this for 17 years and I've never seen this. Like, never seen it like this. Thereafter, it takes a lifetime for doctors of continuous study for the doctor to stay abreast of developments in his field. The mysteries of medicine are much less profound than the eternal themes that are woven into the fabric of the Word of God. And yet we treat it casual. And yet we let it sit on the shelf day after day. And yet we keep pushing it down the ladder in priorities of our lives. A person does not become a master car mechanic by reading an automobile operator's manual. One does not become a mathematician, astronomer, nuclear physicist, biochemist, historian, or performing artist by taking a course or two at a junior college. A person must study. They must be diligent. They must be earnest in order to accomplish what they need to accomplish and the knowledge to have so that they can operate in those fields. And my friend, our calling to be a student of the Bible demands the same. That's why Paul wrote, study. Timothy, study. There's other words that are used for that word study in the Scriptures. I want you to see it over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, as we look at this endeavor to study. In your new year, could I ask you, what are your main endeavors? Projects. Goals. What are your major endeavors? Could I challenge you this morning from the Word of God? Would you move one to the top of the list? And that is to grow in your personal study of God's Word. God, one thing, if I don't get anything else done this year, one thing I am going to get done is I am going to learn how to study the Bible better, and I'm going to give more effort and more time and more diligence to study your Word. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3, it's that same word study at the beginning of the verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's that same word that says, man, I'm going to give everything that I can to this. That's what he's speaking of back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, just like he's talking about here, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9, turn there, we see another word that's the same word in the original as the word study and as the word endeavoring. It's the word diligence. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." It's that same word for study. It's that same word for endeavoring, making this an endeavor in my life. There's another word in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 11. It's the word labor. It's the same word for study if you look it up. It's the same word for endeavor. It's the same word for diligence. What is study, preacher? It's work! It's work. It takes time. It takes dedicated time. I can't study the Word of God and be on the phone. I can't study the Word of God and be typing up an email. I can't study the work of God and be cleaning the house. It takes work, commitment, and time to sit down with God's Word. Now, in my calling and what God's called me to in life, I get to do this, and I say get because I don't look at it as have. I look at it as get to. For hours upon hours a week. I understand you don't have the same amount of time that I have to give to it. But you should be dedicating time to it. Sometime on a daily basis to study the Word of God. What are the motives, preacher, of this study? Look at verse number 15, if you will. The motives, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself. Study's first for you, my friend. The study that I do for messages is to feed you, but really the study that I do is first for me. It's first for me. I'm supposed to study. How many people in cults today were led astray because they were not studying the Scriptures? Study is for all believers. It's for all believers. How else will you know God's basic will for your life? How else will you know if teachers or preachers are in error? It is our responsibility to study. It's for our benefit. And it's to be approved by God. Some of you have worked on a work crew. And maybe on a construction crew or whatever. Or you've worked for somebody. They've given you a job and they come back and inspect it. Okay, when you've done it right and you've done it according to specification and you've done it according to code, you're proud to go to the foreman and say, "Hey, come check this out." And you can't wait to hear his words of, "Hey, that looks really good. Hey, you handled that really well. Hey, I appreciate your time given to the detail of that." The Bible says one of the motives of my study is that I could go to God and say, God, look what I'm trying to give you on this front, Lord. I'm studying your word. Son, daughter, that's of great value to you. Boy, you're pleasing me by doing that. Question, Christian, this morning as we wrap up the first part of this message and we'll finish next week. Would God say that about your study life? Would God say, "I approve it"? I'm accepting of it. Because it is a motivation for studying the Word of God that we would be approved unto God. Here Paul is urging Timothy and the church at Ephesus to be a good workman or workmen, plural. In ministry, the difference between the good and bad workman is that the former wants the approval of God upon his work, whereas the latter wants the approval of men. Brethren, we don't have to worry about approval of men. What we do have to be concerned about is the approval of God. And it requires you to be a workman in the Scriptures. That's what the Bible's saying here. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is motivation. This is motivation for all of us. That we would rightly divide the word of truth. That means accurate explanation. That means I learn the Scriptures. I learn how to interpret the Scriptures. In our class, when we start in the middle of February, we're going to be talking about basic rules of interpretation, how to rightly interpret the Scriptures and divide the Scriptures. That's part of study, that we come to right conclusions about what the Bible says here. When you look at that verse in verse 15, rightly dividing has the idea to make a straight cut. This morning in Sunday school, I made a straight cut. Straight cut was leave Freemasonry. Where did I get that from? He came that we would not abide in darkness. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's a straight cut. That's not a crooked cut. That's a straight cut. See, the Word of God, when we look at the Word of God, it's going to cut. When we rightly divide it, it's going to cut our lives. And so, it is this desire, it's this motive that we study the Word of God. In the 2023 year, next week I'm going to introduce to you a number of different ways that we plan to strengthen this church body in this mandate that God's given us. Study to show thyself approved. Your head.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. Or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh.